This is your classical break, your daily dose of classical music. I'm Tyler Alderson, and today we'll be finishing up with Mozart's 19th string quartet with the third and fourth movements. Yesterday we heard why it's called the dissonance quartet, that weird introduction to the first movement. And we'll hear a few more weird and interesting ideas that Mozart had today. The poet Goethe said that a string quartet is like four intelligent people having a conversation. It's a great analogy, and it's key to understanding what was happening in the string quartet when Mozart was writing this one. Haydn's earliest quartets featured the first violin very prominently. So if we're going with Goethe's analogy, it's like the first violin was a manager leading a business meeting. But as he explored the form further, Haydn started leveling out the playing field a bit, giving each instrument an equal voice in the discussion. And the cello and viola especially started getting more attention and getting more melodic material rather than just bass lines and harmonies. And you can hear some of those changes coming into this quartet. Remember yesterday that striking opening movement starting out with a cello on the bottom? And even though these two movements both start out with the first violin introducing the themes, the other instruments are by no means an accompanying section. They carry the thematic material as well, and there are many times where Mozart uses different combinations of instruments here and there. It's worth noting that when Haydn heard these quartets, and he said that Mozart was the greatest composer that he ever knew, Mozart was playing in the quartet. He was playing the viola. In the first string quartet that Haydn wrote music for, it was kind of an ad hoc ensemble, a few musicians gathered together, Haydn himself was playing the viola. And I don't know whether this is an accident or whether Mozart even knew that Haydn played the viola in those first string quartets. But given the dedication commemorating Haydn as the father of the string quartet, I thought it was a nice touch that Mozart played the same role Haydn did when he was premiering his pieces. The third movement keeps the unconventional writing from the first two going with a chromatic theme introduced by the first violin. The minuet is filled with all these chromatic passages. They're winding their way up and down a half step at a time. It's all kind of slithery. And all in all, the movement is light until the trio section in the middle. It still moves quickly, but it's a moodier, more frantic kind of motion. The finale is sort of a fusion movement. Mozart's having a bit of fun with convention here. It's in the form of a rondo, which is a format where the music always comes back to one particular theme, sort of like a chorus. Normally you'd introduce the theme, and then you'd go do something else for a while, and then you'd play the theme again, go do something else, play the theme again, so on and so forth. But every time the theme comes up here, Mozart's changed it somehow. So it's a kind of a theme and variations in rondo clothing. And I know that probably doesn't sound very funny, but this is sort of a musical joke that Mozart is playing on us. Here's the Musopen String Quartet with the third and fourth movements of Mozart's Dissonance Quartet. Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't really hear as much dissonance now in those last movements, but there were still some passages that people could not get over when they heard it at first. It was Mozart starting to expand on some of those classical ideas that he had been taught. Thanks to the MuseOpen String Quartet for putting that up on museopen.org, and thank you so much for listening. If you have the time, please rate and review this on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever it is that you're getting it from. I'm Tyler Alderson, and tomorrow for your classical break, we're going to be celebrating Easter with Rimsky-Korsakov's Russian Easter Festival Overture. See you then.